Children, you are dismissed.
If I do not move that, I know what will happen. I will trip over it. Everyone has a belief system. Everyone. You cannot function without one. Belief systems determine behaviors. Some belief systems are culturally acceptable and are tolerated. Some belief systems are culturally unaccepted, and these are targets for attack. It is our responsibility to, here we go, you can respond, love God, live convincingly, and look for opportunities. Franklin Graham has predicted that in the coming months, we will probably suffer some kind of persecution. And in light of the Supreme Court decision, I would like to read something from our Constitution. This has been passed by our congregation. Let me read it if I could. In accordance with Article 3, Section D, we believe the Bible is the final authority in all matters of doctrinal truth and practice for our membership. Amen. As such, marriage is a biblical institution ordained by God when He first created man and woman. Therefore, we believe that the term marriage means the uniting of one man and one woman in a single, exclusive, lifelong covenant relationship. We believe that God intends sexual intimacy to occur only between a man and a woman who are married to each other. Any sexual activity outside marriage and all other forms of sexuality, including any attempt to alter one's gender by either surgery or appearance, are perversions of God's created order and are specifically forbidden in Scripture. We also believe that God offers redemption and restoration to all who confess and forsake their sin, seeking His mercy and forgiveness through faith in Jesus Christ. In order to submit to God's authority and abide by His commandments, the fellowship, its pastors, staff, and members shall not perform ceremonies for same-sex unions or same-sex marriages, nor shall its property or resources be used for such purposes. We shall abide by and agree to this statement on marriage and sexuality and conduct ourselves in a manner which preserves the function and integrity of the fellowship as a local expression of the body of Christ, thereby providing a Christian model of morality to our community. We shall afford compassion, love, kindness, respect, and dignity to every person. Hateful and harassing behavior or attitudes directed toward any individual are to be repudiated and are not in accordance with Scripture nor the doctrine of the fellowship. You can pick up a Constitution copy. You can pick up a copy of the Constitution, and that's where we are. And in the coming months, we may take a hit for that. We may be persecuted for that as a church. That is not just some highfalutin theory that it might happen. There are also things, and Judge Thomas has already said, that we will take a hit. Religious liberty is now being tightened. Let's put it that way. So how are we going to live? Anybody got two words? How are we going to live? Go ahead. By faith. By faith. We live by faith. Faith is two things. Faith is the body of truth which we embrace and we stand on. That's the body of truth. And faith is how we receive it. Faith is action. Well, let me tell you how they used to do it. Faith equips us for real world living. We live in the real world. Now, I know in the United States, most of us have lived in a fantasy world. We can go to the grocery store and do anything, we get anything we want, most of us. We have a house, a home, we're protected, and we live in a very, very comfortable situation. That may not be the case 10 years from now or 5 years from now. We will see. Let's go ahead, check these out. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down, after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe, when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak, and notice how I pronounce that, Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Are there aliens? Answer, well, sure, the Bible says they're aliens, but they're not what people say today. Okay, you understand that. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and everybody say, woohoo, wonderful, that's great. That's what faith does. Man, faith makes you victorious. Faith overcomes. Faith defeats. Faith conquers everything. That's wonderful. You notice we broke in the middle of the verse. And I want you to notice this. Others were tortured. Well, something's wrong with their faith, right? Oh, I don't think so. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Why? That they might obtain a better resurrection. I.e. when they stand before the Lord, that he might say what? Go ahead. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and caves and dens of the wilderness. And all these, all of the above, all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the singular promise, no S. There is a the promise. There are promises, and then there is a big one here, the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Faith discovered. Notice the scripture up there, and there's a reason for that. Faith recovers through times of spiritual drought. Faith was absent for the wilderness generation for 40 years. Now, then, it did not, not that it did not exist at all. There are a few highlights during those 40 years. But for the most part, what do we see? Nothing is said of faith between the sea and the river. What sea is that? Go ahead. Red Sea. What river is that? The Jordan River. That whole time, the whole generation, the wilderness generation, was characterized by unbelief, and unbelief always results in flagrant and persistent disobedience. And so that generation, basically, there is nothing said in the chapter of faith between those two periods of time, between the Red Sea and the Jordan River. Not much happened there in regard to faith. But as we find out, faith is revived as God's people follow his instructions. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. How many remember that story? This stuff is good. And you should be able to, if I pointed to you, you should be able to come up and tell me this story about Jericho. Now, if you can't, then you need to go to the book of Judges and Joshua. You need to be able to tell those stories. Because, see, that is what the author of Hebrews is counting on. If you want to live by faith, check out the examples of faith. We get courage from examples. That's why they have the guy on the Cheerios box, or the girl, and we're talking about legitimate ones, okay? That's why they have poster guys and poster girls for different things. That's why they do that. There are examples of people who, man, they've made it to the top. These folks have made it to the top in God's book. They are to be commended. Faith is revived as God's people follow his instructions. Joshua received God's illogical instructions, shared them with his people. By faith, they followed God's directives, and the walls crumbled. What an impressive mega memory. Here's the city of Jericho. They cross over the river. Now, everybody knows the story. Let me just give you a few basic facts. They cross over the river. The river closes up. There ain't no turning back. And again, God forces them to express their faith. Where are they going to go? Hey, can you swim? Most of the people in that entourage that passed over the Jordan River probably could not swim. They didn't have swimming lessons in those days. And after 40 years in the desert, they didn't do much swimming. I'm not sure if they took baths or not. That's not my concern this morning. And it's not yours either. They're miles away and centuries away. So they cross over. Here's this probably a military fortification, okay? And so it's not the average city. So here are the walls of Jericho. God says, hey, Joshua, here's the plan. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to, day one, I want you to get your guys together. And I don't think all the women and children follow. I could be wrong, but I don't think so. I think all of the men and the leaders, you're responsible. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go around the city of Jericho, just march, and don't say a word. That was key. Don't interact with people on the wall. Don't talk between yourself. You just go around there. You walk around. I'm not going to do this seven times. I want you to know that, okay? You just go around there, and then after you're done with that one time, then you go ahead and you go ahead and go back to camp, okay? And then God says, day number two, you do the same thing. Day three, day four, day five, day six. And Joshua's probably thinking, now when do we do something, God? Now, he would not argue with God, but he's thinking, okay, this is a strange plan. Who ever heard of a plan like that? Day number seven, Joshua, here's what you do. You go around 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and then you turn and you what? Shout! You shout! See, that's my wake-up call. I know that some of you are falling asleep.
My mother-in-law's going to kill me.
Anyways, shout, and guess what? The walls will come down. And Joshua says what? Okay, God, I got it. That's faith. You know, when God tells you something that doesn't sound right culturally, you know what? You follow God. And that's exactly what Joshua did. And amazingly, what a memory, what an entrance into the land of promise. What amazing. And folks, that should have stuck in their minds. They followed God's instructions. Yeah, they were going to get wiped out. Now, here's the thing. When you do what God instructs you to do, he takes the responsibility for the success or failure of the venture. True or false? That is absolutely true. You do what I say, I will take responsibility for what happens. Wow, that's a promise. And it's a promise from God. Faith surfaces in the most unexpected places and people. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she received this. And you know the story. Genesis. Joshua, chapter number 2, verse number 11. The Rahab the harlot. And wow, this remarkable woman, pagan and prostitute, had nothing to commend her but what? But faith. And you know what? She had heard the stories about Yahweh, and she chose to identify with God's covenant people. The two spies come in, okay? And this is a military city. They probably dress like military men. They're spies. They don't go in wearing their Israel robes, shouting, Yahweh, Yahweh, okay? They go in secretively. They go in, and where do you go? You go to the inn, the tavern, where everybody's mingling. Finally, they have an audience with her, and they say, this is what's happening. And she says what? Well, I'll tell you what she says in a minute. She risks discovery and death before the siege. If anybody finds out that she was messing around in the sense of spying with the enemy, she is dead meat. Now, what if it fails? What if this whole thing? Now, we already did the walls falling down. We're backing up to chapter number 2. For some reason, the author put it like that, okay? So, we back up before the walls fell down. These two spies went in. How many are confused? Hopefully now you're confused, okay? You're okay? You're okay. Nobody's raising their hand. Everybody's all... Okay, I don't want to take the time to explain it again. I want to get home for lunch. Okay, here we are. So the spies talk to her. They tell her this is what is going to happen, and she pleads with them, you know, save me, basically. I believe that. And so, but the thing is, if anybody finds out that she has defected, that she has turned on them, she is dead. If it fails, or if the invaders betray her, that is a possibility. That these two spies go back and they say, hey, we just wipe them all out. That is a possibility. Here's what she says. In the midst of this, she says, and as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Hallelujah. The girl got saved. Okay? She trusted in Yahweh of Israel. And the amazing thing is this. She, you can fill in the blank in a minute. She is in the line of Messiah. Let me try again. Rahab is in the line of Messiah. Is she a woman of faith? Answer, absolutely. And what she did was amazing. And she took an amazing risk. The guys who marched around the city of Jericho later on, they took a risk. What fools, what idiots. Hey guys, what are you doing? Ooh. Now, were they made fun of while they walked around? Answer, I believe so. That's why Joshua said, don't say a word. Don't reply to them. Our God is better than your God. You know what, folks? It's sometimes we want to say things that probably ought to not be said. How many understand? You know, even with the recent Supreme Court decision, you know what? My first indication, my first is anger and frustration. But you know what? That is the ungodly response. It is. And let's admit, that is the ungodly response. Lost people are lost people. They need Christ. And folks, we need to maintain that focus. We need to maintain that focus. We need to love and embrace the sinner. And once we start harping and condemning and being mean and nasty, that justifies their sin. Because it makes you look ugly and they look vindicated. Never happened at Jericho, and it shouldn't happen anywhere here or around here in the Christian community. Faith is realistic about the source of success. Countless familiar heroes of faith encourage our faith. All of these men, everybody would know. They knew Gideon. They knew Barak. They knew Samson, Jephthah. They knew all these guys. And the little kids in the book of Hebrews here, they could tell you the stories. That's what they learned in Sunday school. That's what they learned. You got to know the stories. If you don't know the stories, folks, if you don't know, how many have ever read biographies? Yeah. Why do we read biographies? Because you know what? I want to be like this person who was a missionary to China. I want to be like this. Man, I admire their faith. That's why we do that. We read stories, biographies of great baseball players. We read stories of great football players. Why? Because they inspire us. These little Hebrew children, they were told stories about Gideon and Barak and so forth. Now, everyone's familiar. Gideon crushed the 135,000 man Midianite army with his 300 men when he followed God's explicit instructions. Now, here they are. Here they are in VBS in the first century. And they're talking about Gideon, okay? Gideon defeated 135,000 men, and he only had 300 when he followed God's instructions. Isn't that amazing? And you can do the same thing. You can overcome insurmountable odds if you follow God's instruction. True or false? True or false? Yeah, it's true. And see, that's what these do. They inspire courage. They inspire righteous living. They inspire us to do good. Our biggest inspiration in the New Testament ought to be Jesus. And folks, I would encourage you, if you find yourself responding wrongly to what happened in the last week, read Jesus. Read Matthew. How did he respond to sinners? Folks, we need that. You're going to need that. You're going to need that. Maybe more than we even think. Barak delivered Israel from Canaanite oppression when he insisted that the prophetess Deborah accompany him. Now, some think that Barak was a sissy. He was a chicken. Not it. Here's what I think. Deborah comes to Barak and says, no, Judith comes. Well, some lady prophets comes and says to Barak, God wants you to go against the Midianites or the Philistines or whatever he was going against. And he says what? I am not going, Deborah, it was Deborah, unless you go with me. What is he, a wimp? No. What he was saying is this. I want God's presence with me, and by you going with me, I am assured of God's presence. That's why he's in the hall of faith. That's why he's here. What else? Samson was God's instrument and wreaked havoc among the Philistines in spite of his self-destructive and self-gratifying lifestyle. He was a hero of faith. Was he a bonehead? Answer, yes. What does that tell me? You know what? Even a bonehead can be a man of faith. Hallelujah. Glory. That's good. Okay. That's good. Most of us have our times of being a bonehead. Guys, let me see it. How many times you've been a bonehead before? Now, some of you aren't raising your hands, okay? That's either you're incapacitated, sleeping, or whatever. Most of us, I won't talk about the ladies because you are always perfect.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Jephthah. Do you know about Jephthah? You ought to know about Jephthah. Jephthah, the illegitimate, ostracized, that means he was kicked out of his family, nobody wanted him, an impulsive son of a harlot. That's this guy. How did he ever make it into the Faith Hall of Fame? He expressed faith. He did what God told him to do. Led Israel against the Ammonites. David, despite his failures, and we recognize that. That's what I love about the Word of God. It's realistic about life. It doesn't cover over the failures and all of that stuff. It's realistic. David, despite his failures, conquered Jerusalem, defeated Goliath, escaped from Saul, and conquered enemy nations. Every time I get to 1 Samuel, I think it's for 1 Samuel, chapter number 16, I love what David says to Goliath. You come to me with whatever, and I come to you in the name of the living God. Woo! That's great stuff. Folks, that inspires faith. I can live this life. I can live by faith. Samuel, the prophet, anointed King David and later David. His childlike faith in the Lord shone bright in spiritual darkness. Samuel, 4 years old, wanted to know what God wanted him to do. God spoke in the midst of a dark nation. Eli the priest was, well, you can think up a word for it if you know what I'm talking about. The prophet spoke and stood alone against unrighteousness, and they became targets and scapegoats for the wicked. And the greatest example was Elijah. He met with Ahab, and Ahab says, Elijah, you're the problem. You're the problem. And Elijah says, no, king, you're the problem. You're the problem. Because you have led everybody in the nation towards Baal worship. Elijah stood up. Elisha stood up. The prophets of old stood up. And guess what? So can you. If you know the God of Israel, if you know the living God, if you speak. Now, was Elijah gracious in his speech? I think so. I think so. I think so. Countless acts of faith remind us of God's power. There were some who conquered kingdoms, judges, military heroes, and kings. Readers would be able to fill in the blanks. Any reader of the book of Hebrews say, oh, yeah, I know. So I'm not going to fill in all the blanks, although I make a few suggestions here and there. Some administer justice by uprooting wicked kingdoms and enforcing justice as leaders of Israel. Some obtain promises. God made them promises, and they saw those promises come to fruition. Some shut the mouths of lions. I can get that one. Samson did, David did, and Daniel did. Wow, great examples of faith. Some quenched the power of fire, the three in the fiery furnace. God honored their faith. Some escaped the sword's edge, triumphed in battle, individually escaped execution, such as Moses, Elijah, and Elisha. Some had their weaknesses turned to strength. Some became mighty in battle when they followed Yahweh. Some routed the armies of the aliens. Some received their dead back to life. The widow of Zarephath, the Shunammite lady, and the widow of Nain. And folks, there are people's names that you should be able to plug in here. Oh, I know somebody like that. I know somebody like that. Yeah, you should. You should be able to know the Bible well enough that you can plug names into these. All of the above acted by faith and are commended. And I put this down and we would give them a round of applause, but we won't do that this morning. Folks, these folks, they lived their faith. They did something with their belief system. Faith is realistic about the significance of suffering. Countless examples of faith led to suffering. Others. Didn't happen so wonderful for others. When forced to choose between death or denying their God, they chose the former and suffered debilitating and humiliating tortures. And we have read books, Martyrs, Fox's Book of Martyrs. How many know it? How many have read some of it at least? Folks, there are people who have had to make that decision. Deny your faith and we'll let you live. Didn't I just say, I desist from Christ, I don't believe that anymore, and we'll let you live? I can't do that. Tie them up on a stake, burn them alive. Have folks had that happen? Yes. Are there folks today who are having the same happen to them? Answer, absolutely. Folks, there are people this morning who are dying because of their faith in Christ alone. What I pity is when I see the 20 lined up, we think they're all Christians, and some of them think they're Christians, and they've never trusted Christ alone for their salvation. They're called Christians. If they haven't trusted Christ alone for their salvation, folks, I would not want to be in their garb. What else do we find? They'd rather die with a clear conscience than live with a guilty one. I like that phrase. They knew their faithfulness would be rewarded. Faith believes that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Countless methods of deprivation and rejection were inflicted upon the victims. They wandered aimlessly and endlessly. We've read those. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. The idea, and this is not in the Bible, but tradition says that Isaiah, I think it was Isaiah who escaped, and he hid in a tree, in the trunk of a tree in the hollow to escape his tormentors, and they came and they cut the tree down. You know what happens when somebody's inside of a tree and you cut it down? Sawn in two. And there are a lot of illustrations, and we could get into the gory details of how some people are so creative in their wickedness. And they are. They always devise way of torturing other people. This is nothing new. They wandered aimlessly. They had no place to live. They wandered in sheepskin. They didn't even have decent clothing. They wandered in the hills. Folks, most of us, if I'm hungry, I know where to go. There's nothing to eat. They've been ostracized. They've been kicked out. They were unfit for civilization. Society labeled them scum and lowlife, not fit to live. You don't fit in here. You don't agree with us, and we are the majority. Therefore, we are right. So, either change your belief or get out of here. You're not really a citizen. You're lowlife. God labels the world unfit to host His faithful. All of the above lived by faith. There was no faith deficiency. This is a death blow to the health, wealth, and prosperity crowd. And folks, we have a crowd of people. The guy that wanted to buy a $65 million jet. What in the world are we doing? We believe that because we're Christians, that now with all of the comforts and God owes me everything. That is not true. You know what? That is not true. In fact, they were outlawed as people who were unfit for civilized society. The truth was that civilized society was unfit for them. This world is not my home. I'm just what? I'm just passing through. This world does not like me. And guess what? That's okay. Now, I don't talk about the people. I'm talking about this world system. This world system is anti-Christ. How many know that? You know that. It is. You cannot function as a Christian and be a light in a dark world unless somebody shines or allows you to shine in their darkness. And we need to learn how to do that. Faith in God carries with it no guarantee of comfort in this world. I look forward to a new heavens. I said it this week to somebody. I look forward to a new heavens and a new earth wherein righteousness dwells. I love that. You need to meditate on that sometime. Faith awaits complete fulfillment of God's promise. All of the aforementioned obtained a good testimony and were commended for their faith, both the triumphant and the tortured. All these, every one of them. Those who triumphed, good for you, you live by faith. Those who were tortured, good for you, you live by faith. True or false? True or false? That's what the Scripture says. And the Scripture is our authority for faith and practice. None received the promise. Singular. What in the world's that? They had not yet seen Messiah. They had not yet seen the answer to suffering. They had not yet seen the provider of hope and complete salvation and forgiveness. They look forward to that. They waited for us to be fitted for glory. Again, and you've heard this before. Here's how it works. Abraham got saved on credit. Isaac, he got saved on credit. Jacob and every Old Testament saint, they were saved on credit. What does that mean? The debt was not paid yet. That's what your credit card says. The debt is not paid. When Jesus Christ, the Messiah, went to the cross, when he suffered and bled and died for your sins and for mine and for all of those in the Old Testament time, from Adam and Eve forward until whenever, Everything was paid for. Everything was paid for, according to the book of Hebrews and the rest of the Word of God. And at that point in time, both the Old Testament saints and you and I were fitted for the presence of God. I may be able to do very little to change the situation and fate of those suffering for Christ. And we read it in the news, if you follow certain news agencies. We read it. We may not be able to do very much at all. But I can pray and in some cases communicate. I can pray. And towards the end of the book of Hebrews, we are going to find that we have a responsibility to those who are being persecuted. And I don't want to pick on you this morning, okay? That's not my intent. But when's the last time you prayed for the persecuted church? There are some people that is the burden of their heart, praying for the persecuted church. Folks, we ought to at least pray, God help those who are in prison. God help those families that are being split up by persecution. God help them. We need to do that. I can appreciate those who suffer for Christ. What is appreciate? I can appreciate them. I can evaluate the worth, quality, or significance of. I can admire greatly, judge with heightened perception or understanding. I can be fully aware of, recognize with gratitude, hold in high estimation. I can appreciate those who are suffering for their faith in Christ. I can appreciate God's goodness to me and the privileges I enjoy. Folks, I tell you what, in the morning when you sit down to have your devotions, and I trust that you have devotions, you need to thank God for all of the stuff that He has given you. All of the privileges, salvation, and so much more. I need to do that. I can reject the doctrine that elevates the blessed and castigates those who suffer. Well, the reason you're suffering is there's a deficiency in your faith. If you get right with God, then all your suffering go away. You know what I say to that? Hogwash. Hogwash. According to the Word of God, that is not true. I can actively anticipate the judgment seat of Christ. Here's a staggering thing, and I think about this every once in a while. You and I will be standing next to some of these dear folks when we stand before the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? I'll look to the guy at my left, and I won't know his name, but if we introduce each other, you know what? He died in a prison in the Ukraine. This person here was tortured and he died. There will be people standing next. How did you die? How did you suffer for Christ? I'm a little embarrassed because I haven't had the opportunity to suffer for Christ. But there will be folks in glory who have died because of their faith alone in Christ alone. You know what? That helps me. Did you get the book yet? Anybody buy the book yet? It's called The Insanity of God. Let me read. He's doing some surveys in Russia, trying to figure out how the persecuted church ever thrived. One morning, Victor arranged for me to meet with a group of his friends, several Russian pastors, some evangelists and church planters, and some elders, a cross-section of his church. I listened in wonder as these believers almost casually recounted being sent to prison for 5 years, 3 years, or 7 years, and being beaten, forced to sleep naked in a cold, damp cell, or having nothing but moldy bread and boiled cabbage to eat for months. These same men shared joyful memories of the time when my wife and son visited me in prison, when I was placed in a cell with another believer who could encourage me as I encouraged him, and how the church cared for the needs of my family while I was in prison. When we stopped to eat lunch, I gently scolded the group, saying, "Your stories are amazing. Why haven't they been written down? Your stories sound like Bible stories come to life. I can't believe that you haven't collected them in a book or recorded them in some video form. Other followers of Jesus around the world would hear your stories and be encouraged by what God is doing here among you, among the persecuted." They seemed confused by what I was saying. Clearly, we were not understanding each other. Then one of the older pastors stood and motioned for me to follow him. He led me over to a large window in front of the room of the house. As we stood together in front of the window, the old gentleman speaking passable but heavily accented English said to me, "I understand that you have some sons, Nick. Is that true?" I told him it was true. He nodded and then said to me, "Tell me, Nick, how many times have you awakened your sons before dawn and brought them to a window like this one, one that faces east, and said to them, "Boys, watch carefully. This morning you're going to see the sun come up in the east. It's going to happen in just a few more minutes. Get ready now, boys. How many times have you done that with your sons?" Well, I chuckled. I've never done that. If I ever did that, my sons would think I was crazy. The sun always comes up in the east. It happens every morning. The old man nodded and smiled. I didn't understand his point. I didn't understand his point, that is, until he continued. "Nick, that's why we haven't made books or movies out of these stories that you have been hearing. For us, persecution is like the sun coming up in the east. It happens all the time. It's the way things are. There is nothing unusual or unexpected about it. Persecution for our faith has always been, and probably always be, a normal part of life." Folks, I have no clue, and I'm not going to make any prophecies like some are, and that's whatever, you know. I'm not into that, you know, predicting the future, you know. I hate to be wrong. But you know what? If we would ever endure something that is much different than we experience right now, you need a foundation in the Word of God. I would encourage you, you may need this book. You can't have mine, okay? You're not going to get it until I get back from vacation, whenever that is. Folks, you need to read this. You need something that will give you the courage to live, here it is, to live your life, what? By faith. Father, this morning we thank you again for your presence. We thank you for the privilege of knowing Christ. We thank you for the Word of God. Father, if we did not have the Word of God, we would not know what to do in life's situations. Father, we know what is right. We know what is wrong. Not only as society behaves themselves crazily, but Father, as we try to respond to a society that is out of control, every man does that which is right in his own eyes, and then they force it on the rest of society. Father, we are upset. We are discouraged at times. God, help us to respond even as Jesus Christ would have responded. Father, help us as we face the future. I pray day by day that we might face the future by faith alone in Christ alone. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Take your hymn book.